Robots Radio presents...
Rated M for Mature.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to The Download, weekly gaming news where we give you the deal on the greatest in gaming every week in a small bite-sized download. I am your greatest host ever, Brenna.
And I am your second greatest host ever, Jameson. The middle finger during the intro was completely unnecessary, by the way.
It's just, I wanted to show you that I can multitask.
Okay. All right, we'll leave that one be.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. We're just gonna dive on in this week. You know who sponsors us. You know where to support us. So we'll giggity goo. We'll have some announcements at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for there. Yeah, you drink your beer.
Isso molelo. Modelo, sponsor us.
All right. So first up, I finally got Brenna.
No.
Against her will to watch an episode of Squid Game. I just turned it on. And she just sat there and kept sitting there. That's pretty much what it came down to.
I didn't have a car, so I really didn't have a choice of leaving.
I call it a win. Because I know she secretly enjoyed it. She just doesn't want to tell anybody because she's super entrenched in that she doesn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, getting started. So, Squid Game has hit 111 million viewers, making it the biggest series Netflix has ever put out. The second biggest before was, I think, 82 million, and it was Bridgerton. It's like a weird... I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest. It's weird. And so, but anyway, which is honestly pretty amazing considering if you've heard, I'm sure everybody has heard the story of the director trying to get this show made, that it took him 10 years of shopping it around studios to get it made. During that time, he was doing whatever he could to support himself, selling whatever he could to make money. And yeah. It's honestly quite wholesome that he succeeded, and he succeeded so well. So, and it's quite a good show. So check it out if you have not. I recommend watching it in Korean because the English is bad.
Didn't they? They were saying that it costs like 80 million to make, and like it's trending to produce like 900 million or something like that.
That is most correct.
That is insane.
Yes.
He posted on Twitter, "Thank you for making me a millionaire." That's quite appropriate.
I mean, and especially given the show, it's very appropriate. That Squid Game was the source of his fortune. So if you've watched the show, you know.
Some good irony right there.
It really is. Yeah, it really quality. wholesome irony.
I don't know if wholesome's the way to go with that, but
you know what? That's fair. That's fair. Apparently, a lot of kids are watching the show, which, you know, parents, what are you doing?
I mean, it is bloody, but it's not the bloodiest show.
No. I just think it's the themes of the show are very complex and would be lost or too much for kids, is what I think.
It is a lot of violence, too, so.
And it's a lot of, like, physical and emotional trauma.
Yes.
So it's interesting. Anyway, moving on. So remember last year when G4 announced this return? Well, G4 is finally launching on November 16th. They announced this past week. G4 will be available on Verizon Fios, Cox, Xfinity TV, which is Verizon, Philo, and Twitch. I've never heard of Philo. But,
Amazon.
Yes.
Amazon.
Yes.
X-Play's back.
Is it?
X-Play, Attack of the Show, Boosted, Ninja Warrior, ESL Gaming, Dungeons & Dragons Limited Series are the lineup that they have posted so far.
Let's see. So Attack of the Show will return with host Kevin Pereira. If only Olivia Munn was coming back.
I would really feel like 2009 again.
Yes. Honestly, I only watched Attack of the Show when she's on it.
I didn't like it other than that.
Yes. I didn't like any of the other hosts, to be completely honest. Sorry, Kevin.
Now recording.
Okay, we're going to try again. So, X-Play was probably one of the, like, the better...
almost like, only video game review TV series show, whatever you might call it.
It wasn't trash.
I mean, honestly, I don't even remember there really being anything else.
I mean, just like X-Play was just like a video equivalent of what like IGN, GameSpot, you know.
It's the only reason IGN and GameSpot really are a thing. It wasn't a thing, I feel like, until G4 and X-Play started doing reviews, doing reveals, keeping up on that type of stuff.
I do think X-Play and like Rooster Teeth are really responsible for starting all that. IGN got in on like the ground floor with like IGN and Machinima, but they've been corrupted by money and they are no longer unbiased as they take dollars for reviews and they just put out generally trash content, like, you know, Godzilla versus Kong having terrible writing.
Yeah.
It's always Adam a classic. Adam
Sessler is back. He is one of the hosts. And then a group of hilarious experts, which they do not name.
Which means they'll just be bringing in different people.
Yeah, every time. I wish they brought her back too. That would be really cool.
This is true. Boosted will be a weekly esports comedy series for curious gamers and esports fanatics alike. I will not be watching Boosted.
Nope.
Seems
like it's gonna be cringy as all can be.
Yes. Ninja Warrior will return, but at the same time, like, Ninja Warrior is already like a thing on other channels, you know.
American Ninja Warrior, which is not the same. Don't even get me started.
It's just a spinoff of Ninja Warrior.
Do not get me started on this.
Plus, it's also Ninja Warrior's like not
But no, this is Ninja Warrior. This is the Japanese one.
Yeah, but is it still ongoing? I don't think it's still... Is it? Wow.
Yes.
Been going for a long time. We just
always watched it on G4. Yeah, it's been going on forever.
So that will be back. ESL Gaming has partnered with G4, which they are a esports company. I don't know why they say gaming lifestyle company. They're an esports company. So... the ESL Pro events will be on there. That's really honestly not that big of a deal. There's plenty of events that are bigger than ESL nowadays, unfortunately. And then a Dungeons and Dragons limited series, which I've seen this trending already all over the place being talked about. I just didn't know it was going to be on G4. But it will feature Jack Black, Timothy Haddish, Kevin Smith, Dr. Lupo from Twitch/YouTube. And G4 is partnering with Wizards of the Coast for this show. If Jack Black is not the Dungeon Master,
I don't want to watch it.
My guess out of all those people, Kevin Smith would be the Dungeon Master.
Jack Black seems like a better person to destroy a GM.
Yes.
And not be a GM.
Yes.
You'd want someone more methodical that like really wants to plan something out. And then you need that one person that figures out like how to make a nuclear warhead in like medieval times.
Kevin Smith can cover a broad range of things. He can be funny. He can be serious. He can tell stories. I feel like he's going to be the GM is what I think. So I wonder, I'm sure they will, Critical Role will probably drop in there at some point, you know, Matthew Mercer, he has to. And so they'll have additional programming content sponsorships that will be announced closer to launch. And then they've also brought in you know, all sorts of notable hosts, as we mentioned. Kevin Pereira, Adam Sessler will be returning. Esports personality Alex Golden Boy Mendez. He is casted a lot of esports events as well as been played. And apparently he's also the host of NBC's The Titan Games now somehow.
Okay.
I don't know. Isn't that the, I'm pretty sure that's the Rocks like competition show that Danny Spiegel was on.
As Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, it's not the same thing as Ninja Warrior. It's not as cool. It's like, it puts regular people against like celebrity fitness people, and they have to beat the celebrity fitness people in like a competition.
Sounds stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Danny Spiegel was on it once though, cool. So
I guess. Is she the celebrity?
Yeah, she was one of the. That's
pretty messed up if they made.
She was one of the Titans. They call the celebrities the Titans. So Olivia May, Froskuren, I don't know who that is, and WWE superstar Xavier Woods. He was the guy that won the competition. They did the G4. Remember last year they did the G4 competition to see who gets to be the host, and he was the winner. His real name is Austin Creed. So, yeah. And then YouTube personalities, Kasim G, Gerard, the Completionist Khalil, Black Hokage, Gina Darling, and Twitch streamers, Fiona Nova, Will Neff, and virtual streamer, Code Miko, and degenerate rat puppet named Ratty.
I don't like it.
Honestly, I feel like half of those people we could dump, and it would be better. They would be better for it.
We'll see.
I feel like half those people we could be dump and be better for it. Not gonna lie.
We'll see about the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll see how G4 does with their return. Is the big thing. I honestly do wish that they didn't go back to TV. And they just stayed as an internet show.
I mean, they were a TV show.
Yes, but I wish they wouldn't go back. TV is...
Yes, not a thing anymore, really.
It's
cable,
just,
you mean cable?
Yeah, TV.
I wish they would somehow... I don't know who they would partner with. I mean, they were with a network, I think.
Well, they're getting their own channel. They will be their own network again. So they'll have to have stuff going 24/7. So
yeah, and I don't know if obviously creating your own streaming series would be stupid, like streaming platform.
They don't need a streaming platform. They could just join someone else's.
Yeah, but they were an own network. Like, what would they join? Is my question.
Anything.
Okay.
They could join Hulu. They could join Netflix.
YouTube,
they could join
TV,
anything.
Maybe.
They could join YouTube. They could just do it on YouTube in general or Twitch. I mean, there's so many options, but anyway. They have a brand new studio in Burbank. It was designed by the same company that remade Yankee Stadium, the Red Bull headquarters, and the Esports Stadium in Arlington. So it should be a pretty fancy place. But again, we'll see how it does. November 16th. Keep your eyeballs open. Cowboy Bebop, the dub, will be voiced by the original cast.
Japanese cast.
Yes, the Japanese dub of the show will be voiced by the original Japanese cast from the anime, which honestly, kind of want to watch the Japanese dub more than the English one.
You and your dubbing.
I mean, it's the original Cowboy Bebop.
It's not that cool to watch it in the original language.
Do you realize how American you just sounded?
It's not American. People like to listen to their own language. If you were watching something, even if, you know, you were in Mexico or something of the sort, it's nice to listen to it in your own language.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes, I agree. But when it's not originally in our language, I prefer to watch it in the original language with subtitles because it sounds better. And because
how would you
almost
know the difference is my question.
I listen to both. And because a lot of the animes, they use the same voice actors to do all the English dubs. And it, so you see very few like differences in characters' voices from show to show. And you're just like, this is dumb. And because they don't do like the voice, they just do their voice. And it's like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
So it's just lots of years of watching anime. Because I used to only watch dubbed, and I got a lot of crap for it. And then I started watching subbed, and I was like, this is better.
I like to actually, I think I get distracted. I would like to watch it first in my own language, and then probably go back and listen to it in a different language. But anime is so visual that I feel like missing any part of it is annoying. Even though I can obviously read and look at the screen at the same time, but still.
You get good at it. The problem is the moment you think about reading the subtitles, it's over. Because yes. All you're doing is just staring at the words and nothing else then at that
you're
point.
Stressful. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've actually, like some shows that I used to, that I have watched subbed, I've started throwing on in the background and dubbed. What's up?
You know, I will say it also probably depends on which one you're watching. Some of them have like, most of it is moaning or weird sound effects. So you don't even need, like, there really aren't even words that are said.
This is true. This is true.
Either way.
I don't watch a lot of those, though.
No. Cowboy Bebop. That's cool.
Yes. Also, one thing I have noticed, too, is, like, English voice actors, when it comes to doing, like, the inflections or tones of the lines, are really flat. And it makes me uncomfortable when they have to like say something cheery and they put like this like meaty, like, you know, it's just, it's weird because like when you watch like the Japanese shows and whatnot, they put a lot of like, you know,
too much. I don't like it. It's too aggressive. Chill the F out. Nobody would speak like that.
No, but you have to remember it's a visual adaptation of comics and comics right. Do that. Comics are always over the top. So it makes sense that.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, it makes sense, but I can't stand it. That's why I can't watch half of the animes. They drive me insane.
You gotta watch the good ones. Well, that's the hard part, is finding the good ones. The amount of shows I've watched and then canceled after two or three episodes because I'm like, this is garbage. Too many to count.
Yeah.
I stopped tracking them, to be honest, because I used to keep track of them, so I didn't. Like someone wasn't like, hey, did you ever watch this? And I could be like, yes, it sucked. I didn't make it that far. Then I just gave up because it started to become too many to count. Disney has teased but they have announced they will be revealing a new Star Wars video game this December.
They teased that they would announce that they're releasing this thing that's going to happen at some point in time.
Yes, and high likelihood, I mean, that game is probably like 2 to 3 years away. I don't see them releasing it next year is what I'm thinking. But yeah, no clue on what it would be, to be honest. Whatever this like weird bring home the bounty thing is, I think people are just reading way too much into, to be honest.
So there's going to be a lot of merchandise around this, which is just sad. This is why I don't like
what
the
Disney
continuation
does.
Of Star Wars. It is just so monetized.
I mean, it's what everyone does. I mean, to be fair, the original Star Wars were also very heavily monetized.
This bad. Even Harry Potter isn't this badly monetized.
The original Star Wars had an F ton of stuff because George Lucas, when he got the rights to make the film, the single worst deal in studio history, they gave him full merchandising rights.
So stupid.
The man made bank.
Yeah, duh.
All the way to town. Like, good God. full merchandising rights to one of the most successful movie franchises ever made, most recognizable too.
For sure.
Founded the leading visual effects company that designs most of the software and systems utilized by all other visual effects companies. Founded the leading sound design company that most movies utilize.
One hell of a good decision, right? One hell of a good life decision.
It's amazing what you have to do when no one else can make your movie and you're like, I need the stuff to make my movie. He made the stuff to make his movie with the help of a lot of very talented people. But he, crazy. That is how I feel. That's how I feel about everything. And it's a black hole. It's because you're like, well, I can do this if only I had this, and then I can do that.
The job I want doesn't exist, so I need to just make it.
This is also true.
Yeah.
That I think that's just the way your field is, to be completely honest. But and then you get into like the spiral of, well, then I need to start with someone else to get the experience and the connections to start on my own. It's a lot. I got
the experience. It's time to go, son.
You do have the experience. It is time to go. You know who is also time to go for?
Oh, bad transition.
That was bad. That was very bad. That was poor taste. Brian Golder, the Hasbro CEO, has passed away at the age of 58. He recently went on medical leave, and then left Rich Stoddart as interim CEO. I think it was either COVID complications or something else.
He had prostate cancer.
Yeah. 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 Men, get your prostates checked. The leading causes of cancer among men.
Yeah, because you won't go in and get it checked. You think, okay, this is where I have an issue. I'm going to get up on a soapbox really quick. Let me get my ladder.
Hold on. Let's just remind everybody, this is a video game show. Brenda's going to get a soapbox about prostate cancer.
People, well, you sit on your keister all day, so why not?
That's true, I do.
Do you think chicks want to go and get a pap smear? Like a metal forceps holds your junk open? Like you think that that's fun? And we do that every year. You only got to go for your prostate like every 3 to 5 years. Like, get over yourself.
See, the problem is, though, the difference is they start you with that like at 12.
16.
Okay. Teenage 18? Years. Yeah. Teenage years. But for guys, I don't think they recommend it until you're like 30 something.
Yeah, because that's really the only time it starts to.
Exactly. So then at what point is any guy going to be like, yeah, by that point, most people are like, I don't need to go to the doctor anymore on a regular basis.
I feel like people will go for a checkup, but people will not opt in for that.
Just on the spot. So how do you feel about a finger up your bone? Let me go get the gloves and the Vaseline. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm actually running on a bit of a time crunch here.
Just had some chalupas. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help either that I get there. I wait a half an hour in the waiting room for my physical. Then I get called back and I wait another 45 minutes to an hour just for the doctor to come in. And he spends all of 5 minutes in there and then leaves. And it's like, where is my day?
Pick me up dinner first or what?
It's just like, why? And then I got to go outside and it's like, all right, your copay is $25. And it's like, F you.
Our new show is gonna be stupid long. We're gonna have to do some editing.
Yes. Well, I mean, it will all be edited.
Yeah.
That's the way.
No, I mean serious editing.
No. Like, yes. Cutting it yes. down. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Brian Golder was one of the people who spearheaded the Transformer movies. That's kind of like a double-edged sword right there. Like, that's a good thing because they were cool, but then they got really bad really fast. So Hasbro. Hasbro also owns
everything.
Yeah, they also owns Wizards of the Coast.
Yep. Yeah, that's yeah.
They are simultaneously a good company and a very evil company.
Yes. Our subsidiaries aren't bad.
No, but they've also, like, you know, G.I. Joe is, you know, owned by them. Wizards is owned by them. We can already see the corrupting influence they are having. It's only getting worse every year or two.
Dude, I'm subs. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah. Moving along. It is still sad that he passed away. That's too early. Yes. Apparently, there's a streaming service called Binge. Never heard of it before. But they will be making a live action System Shock series, if you remember that game. It's a pretty old franchise. Originally released in 1994. It's kind of like cyberpunky, horror-y.
Shooter.
I don't like, I was saying like, trying to say like horror-ish. That doesn't even sound good either. The game had horror elements.
It just sounds like you're saying whore now.
Yes, it all started when I said hoary, and then I said whorish. Now we are whore elements. What are the key elements of a whore?
I got an idea for you. Whore game.
Mm. Mm. You mean Grand Theft Auto?
Yes.
So
was that one part? Never mind. We're not going there. Let's keep going.
Yes. System Shock, though, was one of the sole influences for the BioShock franchise. If you've ever seen like the original design documents, they specifically talk about System Shock influencing a lot of the elements of that game. So it's a pretty influential series, but, you know, it's not been around in a long time. So I'm curious to see what it's going to do. And also, what the heck is Binge?
I don't know.
Like, there's just random streaming services everywhere. Another unfortunate death far too soon. Rainbow Six Siege caster Michael Kickstar Stockley has passed away at the age of 24. He was involved in a fatal car accident this past week. So very, very sad. He was one of the leading Siege casters, as and he'd been doing it since he was like 16, I think. Yeah.
No, 19 he became professional.
Yeah, 19 he became professional, but I think he had been doing it for longer on his own, right, on Twitch.
Yeah.
And he would play Siege as well. He would cast the North American League events, and he had almost 500,000 followers on Twitch. So very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. A lot of streamers and players have come out, you know, expressing their sorrow, their grief. Yeah.
Now on to happy things. That feels like a weird transition.
Spider-Man is ending. I don't know if that's a happy thing.
I don't know.
The upcoming Spider-Man movie, No Way From Home, has been filmed and treated like the end of a franchise. So it's kind of it's wrapping up the
good.
This Homecoming trilogy and kind of putting an end to
good.
Marvel's Spider-Man. What will come next for Spider-Man remains to be seen. They're not saying that they're not ever going to make Spider-Man movies again, but they're done with this for now.
I agree with it. In the same fashion that we don't need a Call of Duty every single year. Let's make it good. Let's not make a million of them.
I agree. And I think Thor is needs to be wrapped up. There's been a few too many of those. Ragnarok was still good, yes. But we've had too much Thor. Thor needs to peter off.
I think what they need to do is this cycle. They shouldn't do all of them all the time. They should do a 3-movie series or 2-movie series and then end it, move on to the next character, and then continue on that way.
And that is what it seems like they are doing now. Like it looks like this next Thor movie, Love and Thunder, will kind of wrap up Thor. We already know that Iron Man has been wrapped up. They made three Iron Mans, and then they continued, finished out his storyline in, the Avengers movies. We know Captain America has already been wrapped up. Hulk, I think, still has something in the works. But yeah, they're starting to, like, Doctor Strange is just getting started. He had his first movie. He's got a second one coming up, Mysterious Multiverse. And then Black Panther, they're going to wrap that up because they were in the process of going to do a second movie when Chadwick Boseman passed away. So they're going to kind of finish the second movie out as, like, all right, you know, Black Panther.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, now we're into, like, this whole new phase, seeing all these new people. So we know that there's going to be more Captain Marvel to come. But now we're getting started with all the new stuff. And it's starting to get out there, honestly, at this point. Like, we had I haven't seen the Ten Rings yet. I heard it was pretty good, though.
Shang-Chi or whatever?
Yeah. Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings. I haven't seen that yet, and I want to. The Black Widow was good.
Black Widow was really good, but that obviously wrapped itself up.
It
was a one-off.
Yeah. Yes. And then, what else? There was something else. Oh, the Eternals are coming soon. I don't know how I feel about that one yet.
We'll see. It could be a nice refresher from all the BS that we have going on. They did mess up with Endgame. They messed up with the reality shifting. Not Endgame. What was the last one we just did?
Infinity War.
Yeah. They messed up with that. They made it a little too muddy. I think the whole
I think that's the point, though, is that they wanted to make it muddy because, like, that's the nature of all the comics. Is there each different comic series is, like, all different things.
They did it after the fact and not pre-planning. Because
I think they definitely planned it.
Don't add up. There's things that don't add up. Like, it doesn't make sense. Oh, God, I don't know them. That's off the top of my head. I'll have to actually research it. But I remember reading the article when everything was coming out. It was like, how is this even working? If this was true, then this one wouldn't be true. And da, da, da. So it kind of got a little too far-fetched, I think, for diehards.
I don't think. Yeah, I think just like you said, I think it just got cloudy. I think it's hard to keep everything straight now. And especially now that they've been doing the TV shows as well. Like, you have the WandaVision, which was good. You have the Loki, and then Captain America, Winter Soldier. Or Falcon, Winter Soldier, but it's Captain America, Winter Soldier. So the WandaVision, the Loki kind of answered some things about that, especially the Loki. I don't know why I keep saying the Loki show. That one really did the whole, like, open the door for the whole multiverse thing, like, really set it all up. And so I think that will get picked up a lot in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And then I did, but yes, it's starting to get wild.
It's like the eighth season of Grey's Anatomy starting to get a little bit too much. There's only so many trains and plane crashes and islands and things that can get set on fire, like
Lost.
Yes.
How many times can this plane? Yes. You could say Marvel is Lost.
Stop it.
Thank you, everybody. But honestly, I'm actually really excited for the Spider-Man Far From Home. It looks really good.
I haven't watched any of them. I'm sure they're good. I just don't really care to.
Brenna, it has Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus in it.
I didn't say it. I almost...
What were you going to say?
You know what I was going to say.
Say it.
I can't. It's bleeped out.
Say it.
Bleep.
You were thinking of that. Yes, you were thinking of that James Bond movie, weren't you?
No.
You never seen Octopussy?
Yeah.
So it's a movie. I'm not saying anything offensive. It's a film. It's a title.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. be interesting to see what happens with the James Bond franchise. I know we've talked about that some, but a lot of people have been talking about the last movie lately. You know what a lot of people have not been talking about? The Xbox fridge available for pre-order today when this episode releases, October 19th. Fantastic. You can pre-order it. You can pre-order it for the incredibly reasonable price of $99.99.
Absurd. Like, I almost feel like I need to purchase one just because it's so cheap.
Like, that's a normal mini fridge price.
That even seems cheaper than a normal mini fridge. I feel like they're more than $100.
They've really come down a lot. It all depends on what you get in them. I feel like $100 is a little much considering it's like how much it holds.
Or 10 cans?
Yeah, something like that. Like, 10 cans. Or it says it holds 12 cans. 12 normal cans. I mean, that's reasonable, actually. 12
pack is good, yeah.
It's going to be on sale at Target. Should we try to buy one?
I'll do it.
All right, tomorrow. We gotta be on our game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be only exclusive to Target. They'll have pre-orders. It will ship in December, and then it will become more regularly available in 2022. Doesn't say when it will go. Like, I need a time because everybody's going to be trying to do it.
Yep. So I guess 12 o'clock? I don't even know.
I'm trying to click things now. I need to know what time to be prepared for. Limit one per guest.
Well, yeah.
So cool.
Yes.
If I get one, the first picture I post of it will be the mini fridge next to a banana for scale.
Solid. Solid.
I mean, that's what Xbox had to do.
Yes.
It's hilarious. Hilarious. It looks nice. It has LEDs in it too, so it will glow green. Using Xbox Velocity cooling architecture.
Awesome.
How many different words can we fit in there?
Descriptors.
Right? Velocity cooling architecture. What? Bizarre. The Lord of the Rings will feature, the upcoming Lord of the Rings TV show will feature a multicultural, diverse cast with a strong female characters.
No, I wouldn't know it that they would do that. It's only said about 5 million times in this mother effing article.
Well, it's specified that many times in the interview. They made a point to let people know that there will be black hobbits.
Which, it doesn't make sense that there wouldn't be. If anyone gets up in arms about this, it's a fantasy world. It just so happened that it got cast with all white people. Like, in nowhere in the book does it say that everybody is white.
I mean, Tolkien was known to be pretty, like, not like racist, but he wasn't like, you know, but
he doesn't specify.
No.
At all. So they could be anything, really.
I think the only ones he specified were elves.
Yes.
Because they have skin like starlight.
Yeah.
Which is
there's
bright white, yellow,
plenty
blue.
Of like the dark elves also exist. Orcs are darker colors.
You know what's ironic is dark elves are whiter.
They're moon elves are supposed to be black.
Moon elves are technically like a purplish blue.
There is a black elf.
Dark elves are white, drow. They're like
there
white,
is a
white,
black
white.
Elf. I don't know the name of it, but I will find it.
Wood elves. They can be. It all depends on the series, the franchise, because some wood elves tend to be like, look like trees-esque, leaf-esque. Browns and greens. But and then they say the show will also have a very strong female presence. And this new race of hobbits are called Harfoots. And they'll mostly be Black, Asian, and Brown with Maori-type influences. Almost sounds Pacific Islander-ish, which sounds cool. Harfoots. I just hope the writing is good. That's honestly what it comes down to. I don't care who's in it. Is the writing good? Because I hate nothing more than a strong female lead that is written terribly. Because
it's the worst. It's actually the worst.
Because they write it to be a strong female lead. And it's like, okay, can you just make a strong character that happens to be female?
You know, and the thing is, it's almost like it's worse. Like, I'd rather just have no female lead than a crap one.
And that's one thing I will always say was so great about Atomic Blonde. That was a strong character.
So good.
That happened to be female. Such a so great movie. Good. Have you read? You should read the graphic novel. I think you'd really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's based on a graphic novel. Yeah, it's taking place quite prior to everything. But the show is scheduled to premiere on September 2nd, 2022. So it's coming up soon. They're spending $465 million on season one. I mean, most of that has to go to props, just yep. Making props. And hopefully I mean,
employing people for makeup.
Yes. And hopefully they do the show, you know, like Peter Jackson did the original ones where they do try and make a lot of things, you know, on site that they do, you know, get costumers and everything to make all the costumes, the armor, the weapons.
They will. They've already done this, you know.
I hope so.
They
have to. I hope so. Dragon Age 4 will be next gen and PC only. They will not be releasing it on PS4 or Xbox, which makes total sense because the game's not going to come out for like another 3 years. So thanks for this update.
They did give like a little teaser, which was not actual gameplay. It's just like random cut stuff.
Yes. Biohazard is celebrating their 25th anniversary. And for those of you that don't know, Biohazard is the Resident Evil franchise. That's its Japanese name. Which is odd that it went from Biohazard to Resident Evil. I don't get that connection. But so they're doing like a whole like countdown thing and revealing all sorts of cool stuff this month. So firstly, they did, I'm sorry, the main page is in Japanese, so the English translation of it is a little wonky. But so they're having like a Twitter lottery that if you do, if you tweet about this, you can win some patches, a jacket, looks like an Oculus, Republic of Gamers headset, and then something else, I can't tell. Maybe a Walkman. But anyway, so, and then they'll be releasing another Oculus Quest for Resident Evil 4, and then they'll be announcing more stuff over the coming days. So October 21st, they'll be announcing three more things. October 22nd, two more things, the 25th one and the 29th one. So keep checking out for that because you can participate. You just have to, probably their Twitter is probably the best place to follow it all. And then Steam has banned all blockchain and NFT games on Steam. I said Valve. Valve has banned it on Steam. Works both ways. And I guess Epic Games is going to try and swoop in somehow.
Okay. What is it?
Non-crypto. They don't want cryptocurrency on their platform.
Well, it just pretty much means that these tokens that you cannot, like, that cannot be traded other than digitally. Because it includes, like, gifts and, like, it includes, like, CSGO stuff.
Yeah, they're, like, crypto tokens as well as the new term is. They're being, like, Bitcoins and all that kind of stuff. They're being called tokens, like Ethereum tokens. And so it's all used for, like, blockchains and NFTs. I only know about this because I've been watching all these videos on Coinbase because they give you free tokens. So I got like $46 of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Now I have to convert it all into something else because some of them are worthless.
Yes. But yeah, no. Tim Sweeney said that the company isn't interested in touching that, so it doesn't matter. They said they'll allow NFTs to exist on their platform. Okay. Have fun. Good luck. Nice try.
Yeah.
No one's going to go to Epic.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll try to get back on Apple again.
Sure.
Somehow. Who knows? Call of Duty, the cheating issue has gotten so bad that players just haven't cared that Activision is implementing a kernel level anti-cheat program called Ricochet, which is not a great name for a anti-cheat system.
To bounce it away. Like you're gonna ricochet off this firewall. I see it, but stupid.
I mean, technically the bullet can also ricochet off your rib when I shoot you in the stomach.
Only a piece of it.
I can ricochet a bullet off the wall into your stomach.
Where are we going with this?
I was just proving that ricochet is a terrible name.
Yeah.
It'd be a great name for a VPN service.
Yes.
Bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, a lot of people just honestly aren't happy with the kernel level anti-cheats because they're always running, always collecting data, always monitoring your system, always reporting back to these companies. And Activision is probably one of the worst that could be doing that, especially since it's Call of Duty. Like, you know, is this kernel going to require 75 gigabytes of my hard drive?
That's what I was going to say. Like, how much is this adding on to the amount of crap I have to download?
And how much is this going to destroy my computer? Because we can already tell they can't optimize on program for shit because Call of Duty is 250 gigabytes. Oh. So I'm sorry. I will never be installing Call of Duty games again if they're running this Ricochet anti-cheat. I will not have that on my computer at all.
This is a great quote from one of the players. I play Call of Duty to unwind, not get shit on by a child that spent $30 on an aimbot.
Really speaks to the quality of Call of Duty.
All right.
I mean, that's been Call of Duty for years. They don't care. They don't ever seem to fix the hacking problem because they haven't in years.
Yeah. There's ways to do it, too.
Yes.
Just like multiple lines of verification.
Yes. Or, I don't know, adding a, you know, anti-hacking program, like any one of the dozens of great ones out there.
Yep.
That already exist, that they don't use.
I mean, honestly, how hard is it to set a flag for insane KDs? Like, right. if you get a KD, like, if yours is like 40, maybe red flag, like red flag.
I feel like 10 is the edge of reasonable.
Yeah. Like I've seen some of them up to like 100.
What? Yeah. I feel like 10 is the edge of reasonable. And even then 10 is like a little because it's Call of Duty.
Yeah. Even for like Warzone.
Like I feel like
it could be less on Warzone. I don't know.
I feel like professional Call of Duty players rock a KD of around like 4.
Yes. And that's impressive.
Yes. Because that's your average across all your lives.
Yes.
So, anyway. This is kind of a good post. That a lot more developers are making the shift to using Discord and having community managers because it's helping humanize developers. And now, I mean, not that developers need to be humanized, but it's helping the idiots out there that say mean, nasty things realize, oh, hey, I'm saying these mean, nasty things to a real person who's just trying to do their job and make a game. Like, come on. Most of these companies don't deserve it. Companies like Epic Games, Activision, yeah. Blizzard, they deserve a lot of the hate because they're doing some terrible things. But 90% of the time, you know, like people are really just getting up in these developers' grills for like, people were getting up in the Valheim developers' grills for like,
it's like
when
five
is
dudes.
When is Hearth and Home coming out? It's been 4 months. You haven't said anything. Yeah, it's five people that made the game.
On some servers in Russia. Chill yeah. the F out.
Same thing happened with Apex Legends. No one knew that game was coming out. It was suddenly just out. And they did not expect, you know, the 16-something million people to pick up the game within a week.
Right. And then everyone was like, where's the patch?
Yeah, where's the next content? It's like, okay, well,
where's
we just
your
really...
roadmap? Remember, they were pissed because there was no roadmap.
Okay, well, we just released the game. It's been like a month. We've been trying to balance the server so you all can play. Like, people need to just chill the F out. And that's the issue, is like, it is a double-edged sword, is people ask for more info and then get upset when they get more info. But at the same time, you know, like, we're trying to promote transparency, but then the developers are not trans. It's like a whole weird thing. It's like no one's doing what they should be doing.
Chill out, everyone. Literally everyone, just chill out.
Yes. Big delay news. Disney and Marvel have pushed back their entire movie slate 1 to 2 years. So everything that was coming out in 2022 has been pushed back. I think 2023 will be like the first dates. They still say Doctor Strange, Thor, Love and Thunder, and Black Panther will come out next year, but honestly, we'll see. Because everything else has just been getting pushed back further and further. Further and further.
I honestly don't give a flying besides anything. Doctor Strange.
The Doctor Strange one is good. I think the Thor Love and Thunder will be good. It's the what's
I'm
her name
sure,
chick.
But
it's gonna be about her.
We haven't had a damn second one in forever.
I know. Like, it's been a long time since Doctor Strange.
A long time ago.
Let's see when it came out.
This is some bull. And he's hardly in the other movies.
2016.
Dude. And he is hardly in any of the other movies.
I mean, he had a more prominent role in Endgame, but yeah, he was out in Infinity War. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. He was like kind of a side person, which is kind of funny. He's just like popped in, was like, yeah, I control the multiverse right now. Like, what?
Or he is actually the single most powerful person in. Him and Captain Marvel, I think, are the two most powerful people.
Captain Marvel's supposed to be the most powerful.
Yes. But he can alter time and all that stuff. She's the strongest. But I think he's the most, like,
I don't powerful. Know. She can do weird things. There's, like, a whole inhabiting and drawing energy from stars that she can do, which is pretty nuts. I don't know. I'm not too far into it, but yeah.
The Eternals are also supposed to be more powerful than all the Avengers, but they just like hunkered down on Earth and chilled out while Thanos killed everybody. So there's a lot of weird things going on.
Like, why wouldn't they get snapped in half too?
I think some of them did. I can't remember. We'll have to wait and see.
We'll see. Yeah.
In the movie, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Another big delay in announcements. Elden Ring. Actually, honestly, it's a minor delay. They were pushed back from like January 21st or 22nd to February 25th, just a month. And they at least told us why they are pushing the game back, which is more than most what other people do. Most of the other people are like COVID or, you know, difficulties of game production. It's like, go F yourself. Tell us what's wrong. So in their tweet, they say, as the Elden Ring will release on February 25th, 2020, as the depth and strategic freedom of the game exceeded initial expectations. In a interview, depth and strategic freedom translates to we're having network issues and we're realizing that the scope of the game will require more effort up front because From Software does not patch their games after they release them. They just release them. Patches are incredibly rare for them. Most of the time, they don't fix things until they release DLC if they do. So this is a good thing that they're fixing it up front, especially for a game that's going to be kind of more leaning towards the co-op aspect of it. And then there will be a closed network test in November. So we'll get our chance to maybe play a little bit.
Ooh.
I know. Exciting. So totally okay with that. A month is a very reasonable amount of time. In the rumor mill, Bloodborne, a PS5 sequel, a PS5 remaster, and a Bloodborne sequel are reportedly in development with the PC port complete. That's a pretty aggressive rumor, because that's a lot of things right there. I wouldn't be surprised if a PC port is in the works. I don't think it would be complete, because if it would be complete, they would be announcing it and pushing it on us. But I wouldn't be surprised if a Bloodborne sequel is in the works at some point in the near future. It was a pretty popular game.
Really was. I'm surprised they haven't made a movie series out of it.
Or TV series. TV series would be good, yeah. Yeah. Be interesting. If you're a fan of Kojima and his interesting style, he is bringing like Death glasses. Stranding. He's bringing, Death Stranding and Metal Gear glasses to real life with the partnership with French eyewear specialist Jean-Francois Ray. They will be making glasses that look like the ones that Cool Glass Man wears in Metal Gear, as well as like the ones that Sam wears in Death Stranding. Honestly, they actually look really high quality. And
they look high quality.
I feel like you have to be a very specific person, though, to pull any of these off.
There's one pair that looks good. I think that's just the name of the JPEG. Or maybe it's the name.
No, those are the names. Which one? It's the HKX FJ02. Oh, the second ones, yes.
Yeah. Those ones are cool.
Those are the round ones.
Yeah, they look like just Ray-Bans, to be honest. But the rest of them, like, there's this weird, like, lacrosse face mask thing going on.
That's from Resident Evil. Yeah, not Resident Evil, Death Stranding. Yeah. It's like a little weird face mask thing. I mean, I think those are cool, but yeah, who could pull those off? You're
gonna wear those in public? Like, the other ones are manageable, except for there's some that, like, there's lenses on the side.
Well, they fold out. I mean, I feel like I could pull those off, the first ones. Like, I feel like I could make those work.
Like, hold on, let me flip over my corrective lens.
Yeah, I'm Cool Glass Man.
Okay.
That was his name, by the way.
Yes.
We don't know how much they cost. If you would like to pre-order, if this gives you an idea of how much they will cost, if you'd like to pre-order them, you go to Jean-Francois Ray's website, and there is a phone number you can call for pre-orders.
Oh no. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Expensive.
Yeah. Let's just, yeah.
I'm going to say in the upper hundreds, low thousands.
That is a massive range.
I'm going to say somewhere in the $700 to $2,000 range, depending on the.
That is still a massive.
Well, it depends on which pair of glasses you're getting. Like the ones with all the 3D printing, I feel like those are going to be in the $2,000 field.
I feel like the ones that flip over because they have mechanics.
Maybe. But the nice thing, though, is you can get your prescription lenses in them. They will craft them with your prescription lenses. So.
Yeah, they're going to be stupid expensive. They better put whatever I want inside of there.
Right? Can you imagine coming into work and I'm wearing like the Sam ones, the 3D printed ones? Those are my auditing glasses.
Oh my God. You're like, hold on, let me get a better picture of this. Just whips them out, puts it on. Are you serious? What? These are my prescriptions. I'm feeling a little bit of workplace hostility.
Or the sunglass ones for when I need to go outside versus inside. I can just flip the lenses over.
You're like, hold on, 1 second. 1 second, Sue.
Oh, goodness. And it's no surprise that with COVID and game developers working remotely, it's no surprise that more companies are starting to hire developers as remote employees, which is a double-edged sword. It's nice because they can recruit people all over the place. The downside is you work from home and they demand all of your time.
Here's the what I like. There is an office. You can go to it, but you don't have to. You can be remote if you so choose.
You like the hybrid?
I love the hybrid. Because then I like the hybrid too. Like, you can still have a home base if you don't want to work at home. You know, you have a facility, you have computers, you have everything that you need. If you need to have a team meeting and you want to get there and develop with everyone, because it is a pain to do it over Zoom. If you need to have a serious team meeting, you have a place to meet that is work official.
Well, it's so nice to be able to have the option to work from home. Like, say, you know, like the mattress I'm waiting for, whenever that gets delivered, I can work from home that day. I can work literally all day while it gets delivered. I don't have to take time off to leave work to come home for a delivery. It allows for so much more flexibility for people.
Yeah, I can't work from home.
Really? Why not?
Stupid.
You know, it's also stupid. Apparently, the Guardians of the Galaxy game is going to require 150 gigabytes, which is roughly the size of Call of Duty Warzone, which requires 175.
Why? Do you see the requirements?
For scale purposes, Microsoft Flight Simulator requires 150 gigabytes.
Okay. Do you see that the minimum requirements is a Ryzen 5 or an Intel 5, 8 gigs of RAM, or a 1060? I'm sorry. That's nothing.
Yeah, why does it need 150 gigabytes?
What?
Did you see the recommended? The recommended is not even that much higher.
It's 16 gigs. It's literally the same the Ryzen 5, just slightly faster.
Barely.
Yeah, and then the GTX.
It's like one generation newer.
Super. What?
I don't know.
I already don't trust this game.
It's the Avengers 2.0 is what it is. It's the
for sure.
Yeah. So we'll see how good it is, though, but I doubt it will be good. And then Sony has threatened a legal action against a company making PS5 faceplates, faceplate covers, after they asked for it.
What?
Apparently, Sony told them to stop making faceplates. They're making black covers, and in a response they said go ahead and sue us. So Sony just sent a cease and desist letter, which is the first step in suing, because if you don't comply with that, they take you to court. And sure enough, the company has ceased and desist.
So stupid.
It is. Also,
this is the F around to find out. They found out.
Yes. Also, Sony, why? Why? Why is this a battle? Are you ever going to sell faceplates for us? No. So let us get the ones we want.
The thing is, there are companies that sell plates and skins, and they don't have a problem with them. Scuff Gaming does.
Yeah, so why is D-Brand getting singled out is what I don't understand.
Maybe they didn't pay for rights?
I mean, apparently Sony has done this before with CMP shells, but yeah, there's also like plenty of other...
Maybe because these third-party ones, you have to like take apart the PlayStation and or controller.
Plates. Yeah, they attach. No disassembly required.
Some of the Scuff Gaming and those ones, the hardcovers.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, you gotta unscrew the whole damn thing.
Interesting. These current ones do not.
Yeah, this one just clips on.
Yeah, so. Really odd.
I know.
Sony is very odd.
Well, yeah.
They talk about how they don't want to release games on PC. They release a game on PC. It makes tons of money. Now they're like, well, we want to reach more players. Well, release your games all on PC. We'll see you in a couple years.
Yeah.
Like, that's honestly ever going to happen. That made me laugh so much when we read that last week. I was like, all right, maybe next decade.
I feel like it's coming.
It's taken them like 5 years to release 5-year-old games on Steam, like Horizon Zero Dawn just came out on PC. Like, come on. Anyway, that will wrap it up for this week. We will be back next week. We're honestly, like, things have been crazy lately. Like, I don't even know where the time goes every week. So we're working on getting our stuff going. We do still plan to do the Patreon supporter episode. Bottom line, it boils down to Brenna and I need a planning meeting to get our shit together.
And you were moving. Everybody was moving.
No, I know. That's what
now
I'm saying.
Now we're gonna get stuff together.
Yeah, it was literally crazy, and now we're kind of like settling down right as the holidays are wrapping up, my least favorite time of the year.
Good.
I know. So, but it is what it is. So check us out wherever podcasts are found. Leave a review if you so choose, and we'll see you all next time. Good luck. Have fun, everybody. Sounds pretty.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like bad movies?
Do you find yourself defending bad movies, saying things like, well, the soundtrack was okay, or the costumes were pretty fun?
From the previous hosts of It's Not That Bad podcast, we bring you Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, from Simone LaRue and Chad Ekovitz.
Every week, we review two movies that did not do well critically, but we say, hey, there are some nice things about them. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes was wrong.
Maybe they're all fools, and you should watch these movies regardless. We'll also talk about scenes that could have saved it, and we'll often refer to Simone's cats because they're amazing and adorable, and we love them.
And at the end of each review, we will tell you whether we would watch this movie again, or in what circumstances we would recommend you watch this movie.
So, join us on July 9th for the first drop of our main episode, and then 2 days later for our drop of our minisodes.
And on Robots Radio Podcast Network. Come see us on July 9th. We love you so much already. Bye! Bye.